Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to 2EmpowerU. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and I'm so glad that you've decided to connect with me for these few moments in time. And on today's show, I want to talk about cultivating a winning culture. This is a teaching podcast, so go and grab your Bibles. As always, I've got a really good informative show for you today. As always, we start off our show with a quote of the day, and it goes like this. True victory isn't just a destination. It's a journey of embracing challenges, fostering unity, and celebrating growth, where winning becomes a testament to the relentless pursuit of excellence. Now let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. This will be my launching pad today. So if you have your Bibles, grab them quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 in the ESV translation. Notice what it says, a familiar passage of scripture. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now I commend you because you remember me and everything and maintain the traditions even as I deliver them to you. Paul here is saying some really profound things that I think we have to embrace as a society, especially a Christian society, in a way that we can build a winning culture. And one of the things he says here, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I would want you to follow me if I am not following Christ. And I think as believers, we should really have that same attitude. Don't follow me just to be following me. Follow me because you see something in me that is worth following. And I think one of the things that we really have to do is to watch how we live in front of people, especially those of us that are parents, because our kids are very impressionable. And sometimes we're trying to figure out how did they learn this, but they watched, they were imitating us. So we are not perfect, we know this, but we have to make sure that we are projecting the right attitude and demeanor and disposition if in fact we're going to cultivate a winning culture. Now this podcast, this episode, is for those that are in families, for those of you that are bosses, for those of you that are supervisors, for those of you that are managers, for those of you that are in church, pastors, leaders of departments, whatever the case may be. We have to really be cognizant of making sure that we're cultivating a winning culture. When I think of this, immediately I think about sports. For those that know me know I love sports. I specifically love basketball, secondarily football. But there's so many takeaways that we can get in watching and looking at sports athletes and owners and GMs down to coaches and trainers. They got one objective, and that is winning, not losing. They got one objective. We want to win. And winning means we have to cultivate a culture and attitude of winning. Nobody wants to be connected to something that is losing. You don't, I don't, none of us do. But watch this. If things are going to change in 2024, specifically in the area of your finances or in the area of your marriage or in the area of raising your children, we have to develop a culture where winning is something we do every day. It's so easy to be a loser. You don't even got to wake up out of the bed and do anything. Just get up and do nothing. And that was a failure of a day. And God didn't put his spirit inside of you and I for us to just go about life meandering, losing, failing with no purpose in mind. We have to make sure that we are cultivating, building a winning culture where when people are connected to us, they understand the expectations. When people are connected to us, we're living at a level where they want to come and be a part and add to that winning culture. It's something too, when I think about sports, I think about when I look at players that get drafted into a bad organization. The owner don't care. The GM don't know what he's doing. The coach don't know what he's doing. The players do whatever they want. That is a losing culture. But can I say this? They built it. They built it. They shouldn't be surprised when losing is accepted. But when that same player gets traded to another team that has a winning culture, we look at that player and say, man, you were terrible over there, but you got traded over here and you started playing like, man, where was all of that? See, when you get inside of a winning culture, it pulls out the best that's inside of you. It causes things that you didn't know you could do on the field or on the court of play. It's amazing. I've seen it down through the years. So if you and I are going to move into areas and dimensions and levels and really be about our Father's business where we can raise the awareness of people, the first thing we got to be able to say is the losing stops today in our family, on the job, in the marriage, raising the children. There has to be an expectation that we are winning, and winning is a mindset. Before you put one foot in front of the other, before you do anything, that mindset has to say, I am a winner. I want you to say that right now. I am a winner. Come on, say it. I am a winner. Feel that. I am a winner. Now, some of you, when you did it, you probably didn't feel anything. You repeated what I said. Thank you. But we got to feel what it is that we're saying. We say so many things out of our mouths that most of the time we don't know what we're saying. We're not focusing in. But when you say, I am a winner, whatever I am is, you will become. I am a winner, not I am a loser. Not I am confused, not I am whatever the case may be, but I am a winner. So whatever comes after the power of I am, again, you will become. But then we have to begin to flesh out these things. So here are four things that I want you to consider to build your own winning culture with yourself and with other people. Number one, this is so important. We must be relational. If in fact we really gonna build something great, we got to be able to relate one with another. So if we look at the dynamic of the family and the house, the mom, the dad, or a single parent with his children, there has to be a dynamic there that we are relational. So we're expanding what we're talking about here is we're cultivating a culture that prioritizes meaningful relationships, open communication, and collaboration, and encouraging teamwork and build a strong connection that will produce team members, fostering a sense of unity and a shared purpose. Again, my sports analogy. If in fact I bring you into my team, my organization, we got a winning culture here. So we're prioritizing relationships. We got open communication. You can share what you need to share. Ain't no need of you holding it inside. That's going to kill the organization. We're collaborating. You bring something to the table, I bring something to the table. We always remember that we're team players. We're fostering unity and we got a shared purpose. What is that purpose? To win. And they say winning cures all. And it really does. We could be in an argument, but we start winning, we forgot what we argued about. When we're losing, everything becomes exacerbated when we're not doing what it is that we really believe we should. Now let's anchor scripture here with this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and 25. Notice what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in a habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We hear this Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Most pastors talk about this and people coming to church. But there's a deeper meaning here other than just getting people to come to church or not forgetting the house of God. And that is encouraging one another to do something great. That's what we really need to do. When we're talking about relationships, if you're in a relationship with somebody, they never encourage you to do anything great or step outside of your comfort zone. They never say you can become this or you could become that. Or when I look at you, I see this, I see that. Do you see what you could be? We're really not in a relationship. A relationship is not one-sided. A relationship is a give and take kind of situation. There are times where I'm giving to you, you're receiving, and vice versa. But we must, as the scripture says, encourage one another, pushing one another, believing in one another. And you can't do that if you're not in relationship with people. If you say you're in relationship with people, they ought to be able to have an open communication with you, without you shutting down or without you just listening and firing back, but you really not taking into consideration what it is that that person is saying. We must be relational if we gonna win. Again, here's my basketball analogy. You got a great player, but the coach is considered to be a great coach, but he don't listen to the players. It can't be that way if we gonna win. You know why? Because the coach ain't playing. He ain't dribbling the ball. He not getting a rebound. He not setting a pick. But how great would a winning culture be if the players could actually go to the coach and say, "Coach, we got to scrap this. I'm seeing this another way." And when that coach is able to hear what that player is saying and implement those things, watch this. That's when the magic begins. That's when we start winning, because it's an open dialogue. Point number two. If we're going to cultivate a winning culture, we have to be resourceful. So when we talk about that, because we're expanding, we're fostering a culture that values innovation and creativity and resourcefulness. So we got to encourage people that are around us, in our families, on our jobs, wherever we're trying to win and move to the next level. What we're saying is we want people to think outside of the box. That's what I think is great about when companies come on the scene, new companies. It's like, how you show up here? How'd you get here? Trust me, they didn't do what was already done. Or they may have taken bits and pieces, but they were thinking outside of the box. Are you resourceful? When challenges come, do you think outside of the box? Or do you think like everybody else does? Jesus thought outside of the box. Everything he did, every miracle he created and did, he was thinking outside of the box. He never did what people thought he was going to do. So then we have to find solutions to challenges. People say they like challenges, but they don't. Because if you say you like a challenge, it's saying that you like finding solutions. And most people don't. When a problem comes, they fold like a cheap tent. They got nothing to say. They just roll over and cry. But no, we're talking about being resourceful. If we're going to win, if we're going to stop the losing, if we're going to stop the crying, we have to find solutions to problems and leveraging available resources effectively to achieve our goals is what we are and should be about. So as a Christian, man, as a believer, you got to ask yourself again, am I resourceful? And if I'm not, I need to ask God to make me a resource. Abraham, one of the things God said to Abraham, he said, man, I'm going to make you a blessing. We talk about that word make. It's a process. So God took Abraham through a process of making him a blessing. In other words, God just don't want to bless you to bless you. He wants to make you a blessing so you become a reservoir, so that you become resourceful for those that need your help. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. We want to anchor in this resourcefulness. Notice what it says. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. This is really great. I love this scripture. I was reading this yesterday to some of our church members in our service. And I said, if you commit your way, if you just commit, if you just dedicate what you're going to do, God says, I'm going to establish you. God has a point. You got a point. If you do what you gonna do, God says you ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Commit, get serious about your work in the Lord, and your plans will be established. Point number three, rewarding. We're talking about this. Let's expand here in our thought process. So we're talking about establish a culture where achievements and acknowledge and rewarding is a part of what we do. So when we talk about this, we're recognizing and we're celebrating success, both big and small, to motivate and inspire individuals to strive for excellence. So in the home, there's a husband, wife, or single mother. You got children, single father, you got children. Are you doing this? If not, you're not building a winning culture. When a child does well, reward him. If he brings home an A or a B, reward that. You don't have to go buy $100, $200 sneakers, but do something meaningful to let that child know, number one, I see what you're doing, and I want to recognize what you're doing. I want to acknowledge what you're doing, and I want you to know whether it's big or small, I want to always motivate you, inspire you, and to help you to understand that in this home, we are all about excellence. It may be times where we fall short, but that's okay. We pick ourselves up, and we keep moving. We keep grooving. We keep changing. We keep evolving. But one of the things that we're going to always have in the dynamic of this family or on this job or in this church, we're going to reward and acknowledge and motivate and celebrate. And we need more of that. We already are being told what we can't do, what we can't become, who our parents were not, the fact that we're black or whatever the case is, that you just, this is what it is. It's never going to change. No. We're going to make the changes and we're going to start them today. You can implement rewarding at this level right now. I want you to try it and do it. You'll see a greater look in your spouse's eyes, your children's eyes, your co-workers' eyes. If you're a manager, you definitely need to hear what I'm saying, because too many people are going to work. They're working hard and nobody told them thank you. Nobody celebrated them. Do you know how to get people to run through a brick wall for you and do whatever it is that you are asking them to do, and they'll do it with joy and they'll work hard? Start celebrating what they're doing now, and it helps other people to work hard. Because if they say, man, if the boss did this for me, man, I need to work hard now, maybe he'll do that for me. See, what it does, it creates productivity. You get the best out of people if they know they're going to be celebrated and not tolerated. Look at the scripture in Matthew 25, verse number 21. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Notice now, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I like that, because the master just didn't say well done. He gave him something. He said, I'm going to put you in charge of some more things. Look how God is. He's just not telling us thank you and patting us on the back and sending us on our way. No, he's saying, because you did a good job, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to increase you. I want you to know I've been seeing what you've done. I want you to know I've been checking you out. Others been telling me how good you are. I've witnessed it for myself. Come and share your master's happiness. In other words, I'm going to pull you on the level that I am. I like that. When he says, come and share. In other words, the master said, I'm going to share with you how I live. I'm going to share with you the things that I got. We have to create a winning culture. This is how we do it. We must help people to understand you will be rewarded for the things you're doing. Last but not least, the fourth one is respectable. We want to be respectable. We want to do things the right way. So when we talk about expanding our thought process with this, we want to instill a culture of respect where each team member is valued and treated with dignity. Let's start with at home. Let's be respectful to one another, our spouses, our children, whoever it is that's in your house that you call in family. Let's start right there and let's just start respecting one another. We don't know what it takes for people to get up and do what they got to do. You don't know what your spouse is dealing with unless they tell you, or your children. But first of all, let's just respect and value people in our homes, and let's treat them with dignity. You don't want nobody mistreating you, so you shouldn't mistreat anybody else. Again, I'm going to say this again. This stuff has to start at home. Start at home, respecting and honoring and treating people with dignity. We promote fairness. We promote integrity. We promote an ethical conduct. We're creating an environment where everyone feels respected and encouraged to contribute to be their best. that part of it, not only you can do at your home, but on your job, in your church. We want to do that wherever it is that people are congregating and gathering, and wherever it is that you are in charge and you have control and rule over a particular situation and people are listening to your leadership, we want to make sure that people are valued. Let's look here at Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 3 and 4. And this is my final scripture here. Notice what it says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm telling you, man, if Christian folk would really do this, I don't know that we have any problems. The problems come because most people are selfish and self-centered. We got to get out of the mirror and we got to start looking at people and listening to them and valuing them. The scripture says above ourselves. Here's what that means. When I'm valuing something above myself, I'm paying attention to you. That doesn't mean I'm there to solve the problem. That doesn't mean I'm there to empty my bank account and give it all to you. What it says is I'm taking time out of whatever it is I'm going through, if in fact I can do it, because people are going through things as well. I want to take some time and value you over what I'm going through. And it's something about when we sow that into the lives of people, the law of reciprocity takes over and you start reaping certain things that you needed to. I always tell people, whatever you need, sow it. It'll come right back to you. If you need more time, sow more time. If you need more money, sow more money. If you need more food, sow your own food. Help somebody else if and when you can. Because again, how do we know that the word works if we don't work it? But this is how we can begin to cultivate a winning culture. Let's agree to this. Let's stop the losing today and let's put these principles in place. These four things that I've mentioned, here's the recap. They all start with the letter R. Number one, relational. Number two, resourceful. Number three, rewarding. And number four, respectable. If we do these things, I promise you, your life, my life will go to the next level. And I do believe God will be well pleased. Well, that's all that I wanted to share with you today. I hope that this blessed you. If so, send me an email at info@thomasadeloach.com. If you are a first time listener, welcome to this podcast. I hope it was a blessing to you. Share this with somebody, a friend, a family member, even an enemy. Share it with somebody. Get this word out. My responsibility is to empower you. So thank you for tuning in today once again. I do have a website. Go there at thomasadeloach.com. Find out who I am, my advocacy, what I'm about. I'm praying for you, man. Believe in God for you. There is room at the top for you. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because your greatest time is now. And remember, above all things, to be empowered.
Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram at Thomas A. Deloach and Facebook at Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.